First, I would like to thank organizers for inviting me to give a talk, and also the organizers of this whole semester in Newton. Very nice and productive time here. So I'm going to talk about topological degree of functions definable in omeival structures. It's a joint work with Kobe Petrozil, and so the idea is, or question is, how to compute degree. And degree is topological degree, topological refers to. And original motivation was basically work by Margarita and Mario Edmunde. So motivation came from theorem, a theorem Edmunde. Margarita talked about 2 days ago. If you take group G, definably compact, abelian, definably connected, and definable means in all minimal field, then what they proved is for all k integers, you can see the map pk, x goes to x to the power k, the group, then degree of pk equals k to the power dimension of g. So the theorem is about degree of some special functions on the group. It's a very nice result. It gives exactly the number of torsion points one would expect, but it doesn't give any geometry of torsion points. So we don't know yet about geometry of torsion points. So we thought maybe if we define degree in some topological way, it would be easier to compute and find some geometry on torsion points. So I think we achieved the first part. We define degree in some geometrical fashion. But we still don't know how to, from our definition of degree, our approach to get the number of torsion points. So what is degree, topological degree of a function? I just went to website, to Google, and it gave me definition. From Wolfram research, it came out first in Google. I think they paid more. So take two compact, connected, oriented, n-dimensional manifolds without boundary. And F is a map, continuous. And F induces map F star from homology group of M, top homology, to top homology group of M. And homology here is with coefficients in Z. And manifolds are oriented means top homology is Z. It's canonically isomorphic to Z once you pick a fundamental class. So F star gives a homomorphism from integers to integers, Z to Z. Its value at 1 is called the degree of the map F. This is the homological definition of F. So our goal is try to give homologically free definition of the degree. And just for...
F is continuous?
Or yeah, F is continuous. So I just copied from a Wolfram website. So it's quotation. It's quotation, yeah. Map in category of probably. So Wolfram gave very nice definition, sometimes wrong, but very nice. So notation-wise, our manifolds always without boundary. We don't assume manifolds are connected, maybe not connected. But all components must have the same dimension. So pure dimension. It's about manifold. Now, on the same page, after the definition, Wolfram says there is easy way to compute degree if the manifolds are smooth. And smooth means always C1. So take this map F, which just continues, approximate nicely by a smooth map G, take a regular value y of g, look at all pre-images, there are finitely many of them. At each pre-image, map g is a diffeomorphism. So assign plus 1 with orientation preserving, minus 1 reversing, take sum, you get degree. So no homology involved at all in the case of smooth manifolds. And let me just state more mathematically what's going on, why it's possible. But it says basically this, the following. Forget about F. Just look at map G. Take two smooth-oriented compact manifolds of the same dimension. Assume N is connected. Take smooth map from M to N. Pick any regular value Y in N. Compute this local degree at y, y is fixed in n, as a sum of local degrees at preimages, and this sum is called local degree of g at y, and theorem is, it does depend on y, pick any other regular value, you get the same number. And this number is called the degree of g. So here, this local degree of x, let me stress, is plus 1 if g is orientation preserving, minus 1 orientation reversing. And in smooth case, to say that map is orientation preserving or reversing, at least for affine maps, is the same as saying the sign of the Jacobian at this point is plus 1 or minus 1. So these are slightly different notions. I stressed this one means orientation preserving or reversing. This one is just a sign of the Jacobian of G computed X. And, well, we have to deal with manifolds. Still, this oriented smooth manifold means sign actually makes sense. To do it, we need to look at definition of orientation for smooth manifolds. So we have smooth manifold M. Each point has a neighborhood diffeomorphic to PIs to some affine set in Rn. And to give orientation, we cover the whole manifold by such nice sets. And the requirement is, if my point belongs to two such sets that cover my manifold, it gives me diffeomorphism to affine sets. When I go from this point to this point, the Jacobian must be positive, has positive sign. Its diffeomorphism must have positive sign for all transition maps. So to give orientation means to give such an atlas. And then, if I have function f anywhere to Rn, I can compute the sign of f, the sign of Jacobian. Jacobian does make sense. It depends on the chart I'm looking at. But the sign is going to be the same by the chain rule. If I compute sign of this Jacobian or this one, by the chain rule, they will differ by the sign of Jacobian on this function, which is always positive. So sine of Jacobian is well defined. Once we pick such a manifold, is an atlas where all transition maps have positive Jacobians. So it's idea for smooth case. And now we would like to do almost the same in the case of topological manifolds and maps in O-minimal structures. So goal is to define degree, like in this case. Let me. The goal is to make sense of this formula in the case when manifolds are just topological manifolds, C0 manifolds. Map is just C0 map. But all data is definable in O-minimal structure. So we fix O-minimal structure. It must be expansion of a field. And definable will always mean definable is such structure. So what are definable manifolds? To simplify, I will only consider embedded manifolds. So definable manifold is subset of Rn, M, which is induced topology from Rn, such that every point x has definable open neighborhood, definably homeomorphic to an open set. So it's standard definition. Just require definably embedded, all maps are definable. These are our manifolds. So goal is first to define orientation for such manifolds, and then to compute degree in the same fashion as for smooth maps. So to define orientation, we want to use the same trick. We want to equip with Atlas to give us orientation. So there's no problem to define an atlas. Define means give definition. So by definable atlas on such manifold, so locally it's definably homeomorphic each point. And definable atlas means you can cover by finitely many sets UIs. Each UI is definably homeomorphic to an open set in Rm, where M is the dimension. So the only difference from standard atlas is require finitely many charts. So definable mostly refers to. And the fact is that every definable manifold always has a definable atlas. So now we want to introduce orientation via such atlases. Let's see what we need to do. It works very nicely in a smooth case because of these transition maps. So in the smooth case, what happens? Why we can assign this sign of the Jacobian? If you take two subsets in Rm, open, and let's say F is diffeomorphism, then, assuming U is connected, the sign of the Jacobian is constant. It's not zero, positive or negative. U is connected, it must be the same everywhere. So first, somehow, idea. What if you take F to be homeomorphism? Jacobian somehow does make sense because it's not differentiable everywhere. Assume U is definably connected. So it's not a disjoint union of proper definable open subsets. Now, we are in O-minimal setting. O-minimality. It implies there is huge set. Everything is nice and piecewise smooth. There is U0 in U, definable, open, dense. There's always some subset. you get to zero, such that f restricted at zero is diffeomorphism. So now we can compute the sign of Jacobian on a large open set. Problem is u0 now doesn't have to be connected. Maybe disconnected. So we cannot claim automatically that the sign is going to be the same everywhere where we can compute it. There may be some big wall between two nice sets. So we need to pass the wall somehow. And so it's possible to go through such a wall. Here is statement. But first, let's define notion of a regular point for just a continuous map, the same as for smooth map. So f is definable continuous function from u to Rn. U must have the same dimension as a target space. Domain and target have the same dimension. Point is regular if f is differentiable close near x and Jacobian is non-singular. It's a notion of regular point. And theorem is take such u in Rn, take f definable, just continuous, and assume u is connected. Compute the sign of Jacobian at any regular point. The sign is going to be the same, regardless of if a set of regular points, reg f, is connected or not, the sign is going to be the same. Plus, we have plenty of such points. F is injective, means regular points of f are dense. So we have enough points to test the sign of Jacobian, even when f is continuous. Let me give proof of the trivial case. So proof doesn't go this way, but it's just idea what happens in the most trivial case. Let's say you have f definable from R to R. Definable and continuous and injective. I want to show that Jacobian has the same sign at all points where you compute, but it's, in this case, it's trivial. Continuous injective means it's strictly monotone. So it's either strictly increasing everywhere or decreasing. So the sign of Jacobian has derivative, it's positive or negative. This example, you can have something, the graph of f, very badly approaching from one side of zero. Huge singularity at zero, doesn't matter in this case, just because of monotonicity. Of course, when you have to deal with high dimensional spaces, proof is very different. And just to remind you, locally injective means around each point there is definable open set where f is injective. So locally, it is injective map. So you have in locally injective map, continuous, sign of Jacobian is the same, where it can be computed, provided your set is definably connected. Once you have different components, it can jump. So now, like in a smooth case, we can define orientation for resolving maps for affine sets. Take open subset of Rn, definable, and f definable map to Rn. So domain and target have the same dimension, affine. We say that f is orientation preserving or reversing if the sign of the Jacobian is positive, in the case of orientation preserving, for all regular points of f. And orientation reversing if the sign is negative everywhere where it can be computed. It's definition of orientation preserving or reversal maps. And remark is what theorem says, according to the definition, if U is connected, defined connected, and F is continuous injective, then F must be either orientation preserving or reversing. So to each injective continuous map, affine map, you can say if it's orientation preserving or reversing just by computing Jacobians. Now, the same way as in smooth case, we can define orientation for topological manifolds without using any homology. So definable oriented manifold M now is a definable manifold with a definable atlas to cover by definable open sets homeomorphic to affine sets such that all transition maps must be orientation preserving. So it means at generic enough points, Jacobians are positive for all transition maps. The same way as in the smooth case, only we say for any regular point, transition has positive Jacobian. And manifold is called orientable if there is definable atlas such M is oriented manifold. This definition of orientable manifold in just topological manifolds in all minimal settings. There is also notion of homologically orientable manifold, means top homology is non-zero. Of course, it would make sense to introduce different orientations for the different definitions for the same object, or different object for the same definition. Two different orientations. Just let me state. The following. Let M be definable manifold. Definably connected. So it means it cannot be split into two proper disjoint open subsets. Then M is orientable in this sense, so it can be covered by a nice atlas if and only if Hn Mz is not zero. It's a homological definition. And proof more or less goes through triangulation. Suppose I have MA oriented. So you have nice atlas. It tells me something wrong? Something?
N is a dimension.
Oh, yes. Equals N. Let's say M is oriented, so we have such nice atlas. We know that M is definably homeomorphic to some simplicial complex. So we have definable triangulation. And by simplicial complex, I mean geometric realization of a complex. It consists of simplices putting together. Now take simplex, open, in delta, of top dimension. Dimension n. It means we have somewhere standard simplex, sigma n. And map IN, homeomorphism, standard simplex. Well, so now M is oriented. We transfer orientation to delta, just atlas, transfer it there. So we can say if this map is orientation preserving or reversing. The standard simplex sit inside Rn has one chart, gives me orientation, just nice set inside Rn. We can use standard orientation of Rn. So we assign sine of In plus 1 minus 1 orientation preserving, orientation reversing. And now take cycle, homological cycle. Yeah, let's say I sigma. For all n-dimensional simplexes, it's going to be cycle. Take a chain, it's going to be cycle. So it gives me element in Hn. Hn is not zero. Another way to state it, that our orientation on manifold induces combinatorial orientation on simplicial complex and vice versa. There's no difference. But it's just to say this object is the same as homological orientation, there is very easy translations back and forth. Now, for definable oriented manifolds M and N of the same dimension and functions as definable continuous, we can say when function is orientation preserving or reversing. Just look at charts given by atlases. It induces now, reduces to affine maps. And for affine maps, it's well defined. For affine maps, continuous injective map, preserving means Jacobian is positive, reversing negative at any smooth point. Now we do the same only in chart. So I have M, have N, function F. Okay, so we have two manifolds of the same dimension. Have M, we have N, we have continuous map F. And injective, definable continuous injective. The whole purpose of orientation is to tell us when such F is orientation preserving or reversing. For me, the whole purpose of orientation is to tell me when injective functions preserve orientation or reverses, nothing else. So I want to look at this function and decide with orientation preserving or reversing. So we have our atlas, A and B. So we have here set U, set V. This U goes to affine set in Rn. This set also goes to affine set in Rn. I hope. And now, for affine sets, I know how to detect orientation preserving or reversing. Compute Jacobians at rare points. So now, if going through these charts, at all smooth points in this chart, Jacobian is positive, we claim that function is orientation preserving. It's a definition. If Jacobian is negative, orientation reversing. Just compute Jacobian. And if M is connected and F is injective, each such function is either orientation preserving or reversing. It's the same as in a affine case. If set is connected, function continues, Jacobians have the same sign where they can be computed. The same for manifolds. Okay, so now we have notion of orientation preserving or reversing maps. But our goal is to look at the degree. So we define local degree. Let M and N be two definable oriented manifolds. of the same dimension, we have definable continuous function from M to N. So it's for point X in M, where F is locally injective, so it means F is injective near X, we assign degree to be at X plus 1 if F is orientation preserving near X, so we look only at Jacobians near X, and minus 1 if F is orientation reversing near X. So local degree at X where F is locally injective. So it's my domain. So again, if it makes sense, we can detect if it's orientation preserving or reversing. And now, suppose we have again two manifolds in the left slide. F is continuous, definable. Take point now in the target space in N. There should be no comma. And we define this point to be topological regular value of F if the preimage of Y is finite. Yeah, it might be in N. So Y in the target space does not like N?
In Russian.
No, Russian is opposite. So Y is in this N. It's beautiful N. So we say that Y's topological regular value if the preimage of Y is finite and F is locally injective near all points in the preimage. It's like a regular value for smooth maps. It means preimage with the same dimension is finite and Y, F is diffeomorphism near X every point. Here is just locally injective. So Y, F above Y, it's like a finite cover. You can map injectivity. And the fact is a set of topological real values is dense in the target space. And the trick is if preimage is empty, it's automatically topological regular point. There. So for example, if F is very non-injective, it will collapse M to a very small set. Everything in the complement is topological regular. So no preimages means very nice point.
Then the degree would be the sum of a very empty set would be.
It's a very good guess. Yeah. It's us what we guessed with Kobe also. So if you take two definable oriented manifolds of the same dimension, and F is definable continuous map, which is definably proper, I will say it in a second, means we assume the target space is connected and is connected, then for any topological regular value Y, the target space, if you compute local degrees of F at all preimages and take the sum, it doesn't depend on topological regular value. So let me say what is definable proper. In this case, equals B? Okay, B is Y. B is Russian Y, or Y Russian. Is it Y? So we don't require manifolds to be compact, but like in classical case. The definition of degree, compactness can be removed, but map must be what? Definably proper. So map from M to N, F, is definably proper. It's like in the usual classical case, preimage of a compact set must be compact. In definable category, in non-Archimedean case, compactness is a tricky notion. So if for all X in N, such that our manifolds are embedded. So n lives inside some definably Rm, a topological subspace, M inside Rn, Rk. So if I take any x in n definable, such that x is closed and bounded, that means compactness, in the ambient space, the total topology, then the preimage in Rk. So once f is continuous, definably proper, the notion of degree at y doesn't depend on topological regular value of y, provided m is connected. And of course, definable properness is needed, because otherwise we can lose points. It's like easy example, just function from R to R, like this curve. So degree here is plus 1, degree here is 0. And because preimage of this nice compact set is very non-compact. So now, once all our local degrees are the same, we can define the degree of f has to be degree yf for any topological regular value. And function is between two manifolds, defined manifolds, and n must be definably connected. The degree of function is very well defined. To remark, if f is not surjective and f is definably proper continuous, then degree is automatically zero. Because the image of M, by properties, is going to be closed subset. If it's not onto, we can find Y outside of the image. And it's going to be zero. Also means if you, it's not surjective, and you pick any point in the image, with topological regular value, compute this degree, it's going to be zero. If F is not onto. Second, if you take generic enough point in n, if you want to go to elementary extension, take generic enough, degree can be computed exactly the same way as in smooth case. Everything a generic point is differentiable, compute Jacobians, their signs. So this topological degree, for how to compute degree, is here. Of a function. Pick generic point, compute signs of Jacobians. Once you have this nice atlases, gives you orientation. This is how to compute, and maybe I'll just demonstrate how the definition can be used to give very elementary proofs of some facts about degree. Nothing new, but just I think proofs are quite nice and easy. So in the classical case, degree doesn't change under homotopy. If you take two functions and they're homotopic to each other, so you can nicely and continuously go from one function to another, degree must be the same. So definable homotopy is the same notion. We have two definable sets, U and V. We have two definable continuous functions, f0, f1, from u to v. Definable homotopy from f0 to f1 is just a continuous definable change from f0 to f1. So consider big capital F as a family of maps, parameterized by 0, 1. f0 is f0, f at 1 is f1. So it's definable homotopy, and we call definable homotopy proper if such F is proper as a map from spaces, this space to this space. And by the definition, it's very easy to see if actually for defining proper maps, if the domain is compact, then every continuous map is defined proper. Just a classical case. So now, theorem is, of course, that we take two definably oriented manifolds of the same dimension, n is definably connected, so we can compute degrees, and two maps are definably proper, homotopic, f0 and f1, then their degree must be the same. So two definably proper continuous maps, f0, f1, if the A are definably proper homotopic, you can nicely go from f0 to f1, they must have the same degree. So I don't think it's not a new result, just another proof. So let's say we have such f0 and f1 from M into N. So they are definably proper homotopic. So we have this nice function, xt, u cross 0, 1, to v. Oops. So what's here? Mn. This map is definably proper. Now extend this F to map from M to R. To M. By doing the following, just F at XT equals FX1 for t greater than 1, f x 0, t less than 0. So make it constant, these maps. Remark, this map is still definably proper. Don't do anything, just extend to the whole line. And now consider a very simple map. From M cross R into N cross R. And map is XT goes to FXT T. Very simple definable map. Very easy to argue it is definably proper. And now we can orient both sides by product. So we have two definable oriented manifolds, definably proper continuous map between them. We can compute degree. So take generic Y, so generic enough, Y in N. Take also generic over Y, T0, T1. One is somewhere below, one is far enough up. And now, degree of h at y t 0, any generic point is topological regular, is the same as degree at y t 1 of h. Okay? And now compute Jacobians. It can be done through Jacobians. But Jacobian of h, its sign, is the same as Jacobian of F. It's very easy matrix. So Jacobian, the sign of H, of Jacobian of H at point Y Ti is the same as the sign of Jacobian, well, df, dx, computed at the same point. So keep Ti fixed. Just look at the matrix. That's exactly as for these numbers going to be implied, if you sum up, is going to be exactly degree of F. T0 fixed. F1. Just copy Jacobians at the levels T0, T1. For matrices where you have row of zeros and one. So it's degree under homotopy. And one more, how to use degree to give another proof of Brouwer fixed point theorem. So Brouwer fixed point theorem in omnial structures was proved by many people earlier. But this degree computations give another proof of Brouwer fixed point theorem that doesn't use any homology at all. And this proof I took from Alex gave me one page of proof, classical Brouwer fixed point using integration. I think he got it from Philip. But I don't remember author was. I don't.
No, that's Philip.
Okay. So it's idea is taken from the proof in the classical case for the reals that use integration. So you fix Rn. B bar is a unit closed ball. S is its boundary, unit sphere. And B is the open unit ball, open inside. Definable continuous retraction, define this map is called retraction, from the closed ball into the sphere. Well, if it's just identical on the sphere. So definable continuous retraction from ball. And theorem is there is no definable continuous retraction from the closed ball to the sphere, to its boundary. And the same as the classical case, it's equivalent to Brouwer fixed point theorem. Every definable continuous map from closed ball to itself has a fixed point. So let's prove it. Suppose not. Assume not. Assume not means theorem is false. So we have map from the closed ball into sphere such that F of the boundary is identity. And F is continuous definable. Now consider the following. F of xt equals 1 minus t f of x plus tx. Addition is taken inside Rn where our ball sits. This is to see what we have. We have now homotopy from f to the identity map. Now what happens, if you take any R in 0, 1, at 1 what we have map from closed ball into S. But if you take any R between 0 and 1, it's not hard to compute that map X goes to FXR will map B into B, so open part into open part, and is going to be identity on S. So for each R, this map, R is fixed, maps open ball into itself. And it's not hard to see its map is going to be definably proper. And definably proper homotopic to F0 I'm wrong. Because when t equals 1, we get just identity map. Very simple computation using convexity of the ball. So what we have for each such r, degree of fr equals degree of identity, which is 1, that's identity map. It implies each FR is surjective. If you miss something, point is powerful regular, no pre-images, degree is 0. But it's for each all R's between 0 and 1. And big F is continuous. So our limit map is going to be also surjective. But our limit map F supposed to map the whole B into S.
F of x 0.
Limit map must be also surjective.
How do you put this?
What?
That the limit map is also surjective?
Vector selection. Take this point. For each R, you have point very close to it, right? Take curve approaching. It's going to be surjective. Contradiction is original assumption. And I think I will stop at this point. Thanks.
Can you define the degree just using the cylindrical cell decomposition? Take cell decomposition compatible with the graph of F, then the pre-image of any maximal dimensional cell would be just the union of maximal dimensional cells. You just count the cells. You don't have to do any.
Well, you need to do first orientation, right?
Yeah, well, it's easy to define orientation on cylindrical cell decomposition. So then you just count the cells. You don't need any machinery.
Yeah, so no machinery was.
To prove it, independence, of course, you need your machine.
Yeah, so if you do any cell decomposition, you can define degree using almost any cell decomposition, but it's more close to homological definition using homology.
Just counting the cells.
Yeah, but it's the same as homology count simplices, for example, simplicial homology, right? With a given orientation. Yeah.
Prove it's independent of the decomposition.
Yeah, you need to prove it's independent decomposition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's easy. Just have a compatible
sub refinement. So our goal was actually
triangulate. You cannot triangulate the map, but you can get cell decomposition, and that's all you need for.
Yeah. So of course, at the end, every proof boils down to cell decomposition at some point. So yes, but to do it, it's more or less doing the same, and you need to prove all these inequalities. But I think our goal originally was exactly trying to keep as close to smooth case as possible, because all computations are very simple. Pick generic point, compute Jacobians, nothing else. So you don't need to do, as a end, you don't need to do any cell decompositions at all. Yeah, so degree can be computed in many different ways, definitely. All proofs, some point boils down to some kind of cell decomposition. Almost any proof of minimality. Yeah. Yes.
Is there a notion of abstract manifold and Whitney embedding theorem?
There is notion of abstract manifold. It's like a usual, you require atlas to be finite. Embedding manifold, I believe there is for compact case. For compact manifolds, there is embedding theorem. So for abstract compact manifolds, you can embed into Rn.
No,
always. Not always, always. Robson theorem is true. It's just triangulation. So Markov, what's that?
I mean for the unit red.
Yeah, regular manifold. So you don't need compactness to embed, right?
I guess you can.
No, for smooth case, you need compactness. Yeah, for continuous, no.
Locally definable manifolds.
Also, can be embedded?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can define abstract manifolds, even stronger, not only five-dimensional charts, and they're embeddable. Okay. So, yeah, it's Robson theorem. And I think it's, yeah.
Not with finite
atlases. Yeah, like I said, it's just the abstract manifold. You need some compatibility condition between, to make sense of definable in this category. But it's possible to embed it. Yes, please.
Is the embedding dimension the same for finable manifolds? Every manifold of dimension n can be embedded up to n.
Oh, I don't know it yet.
Except from 2n is not local. It's a global Whitney trick.
Robson embedding goes for charts. It depends on number of charts also.
Yeah.
So it's very some kind of...
In the differential case, you can get...
Yeah, in differential case, you can reduce. But in just a topological case, it's a very kind of combinatorial embedding.
Yeah.
In differential case.
Yeah, so the reason I just look at only embed submanifolds because any manifold, abstract manifold, can be embedded.
So I have a question. Thank you very much.